You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahala.
In this episode, we're talking about being and doing weird things is a good thing. In this episode, Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchable. Sometimes we might challenge your beliefs. We maybe even stretch your comfort zone. But most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't necessarily expect agreement or disagreement, but what we do hope is to cause some shaking bones. You know, Amy, when I first met you, I thought you were weird from the beginning. And we talked about that. Remember, I had a little test that said if you had at least three of these, you were part of the weird club.
And
you had seven or eight or all of them. So I welcomed you to the weird club.
Yeah.
You know, I often think that when children do things, sometimes adults will say, why is that kid doing that weird thing? As if it's something negative in that process. Have you heard adults say that sometimes about children and their behaviors?
Yeah, or they'll just, you know, they'll make a face like, I can't believe that is happening right now. What is going on here?
Yeah. And I'm always curious about what people consider weird. For example, often people will consider children or adults who talk to themselves as being weird. And I'm thinking, I don't see anything really weird about that because you're the person that understands yourself the most. So maybe we should talk to ourselves a little bit more in terms of that process. But I don't think talking to yourself makes a child necessarily doesn't make the child bad. It just makes them interested in conversing with themselves. Do you have kids that talk to themselves?
Oh, I have children who talk to themselves, and I talk to myself all of the time because, you know, for me, speaking out loud and working through things, it helps me clarify a lot of times. And so if I say it out loud and then, you know, if somebody else happens to hear it, sometimes they'll help me clarify as well. But otherwise, I'm still, you know, working through the process myself. When you say it out loud, it's real. When it's going through your head, sometimes, you know, you just really need to I really need to hear it and not just think it sometimes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Jane Healy says that when you talk to yourself, you increase your cognition by 72%. So look how smart we're getting as we talk to ourselves. And I think especially with children, sometimes they practice their language development by talking to themselves versus talking to someone else in that process.
I didn't know that. I'm going to make sure that I look that up with Jane Healy.
Now, the other thing is spontaneous singing. Sometimes adults will say to children, why are you singing that song? And of course, the song might be a real silly song that the child has made up, but I know I don't see that as a bad thing, and I might classify it as a weird thing. But it's certainly a good thing. I sing in the car. I don't know if you do, Amy, but I certainly sing in the car, and I think I'm better than I ever was in the car. Do you put on concerts in your car?
You know, sometimes in the car, although generally I'm not in the car by myself. working from home, I don't have to come and go very often. So, you know, I just kind of, a lot of times when I have to do mundane things is when I will break out in different types of songs. So,
is your family, when you travel, are they a singing family or not a singing family?
You know, Alan and I like to sing it, and Dean's 13 right now. So
anybody.
He kind of rolls his eyes at us when we sing once in a while.
He probably thinks you're weird.
Yep, he does.
And now you can say, oh, that's a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah, the other thing that adults sometimes say about children is they won't necessarily match their socks, or they put on a different color shirt that doesn't necessarily match the pants. And adults get really upset with children because they're thinking that that clothing should relate in some color to some color scheme. And of course, children are just putting on what they like, and often don't look necessarily at the color, whether or not their socks match, etc. Do you have weird children that come in dressed like that?
Oh, you know, we allow children to dress however they want. And I have one little girl who is an absolute trendsetter. She has decided that the strings on the inside of your socks just are not comfortable. So socks are now to be worn inside out. And she probably started that about 6 months ago. And I'm pretty sure every child in our program now wears their socks inside out.
Yes. And do you have children that wear the same clothing over and over again that they don't necessarily? Because some children have that comfort zone and they have a favorite thing that they want to wear. And parents are often trying to expand their children's wardrobe. But in reality, it's just okay for that child to wear that particular thing.
You know, I don't have anyone right now who's wanting to wear the same thing over and over again, but I do have a number of children who don't want to get dressed in the morning, and we're perfectly okay with wearing pajamas. And in fact, I wear pajama pants during the day most of the time. I find most of them too warm to actually wear at night, but they're quite comfy to be in during the day. So we have pajama day quite often.
Sure. And it's not necessarily something bad. It's just, it feels comfortable. It's good to work it with. And I think the children are the same thing. You know, the children don't want to get up and their brain says to them, the very first thing I should do is put on different clothing. That's not how their brain thinks. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. And it could be weird, but it really is just what they feel comfortable doing and what's important for them as they make that transition. Another one that people get really upset with is children who pick their nose a lot, as if that's something that should not occur, and that being that weird is being a bad thing. And yet, when we get something in our eye, people want to remove it, but when it's in our nose, for some reason, they use it as a different classification. So I think that sometimes adults believe that children who keep their finger in their nose are bad kids. What do you think about that?
You know, I don't think they're bad kids, but I do worry about where it goes after their nose.
Of course. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad.
Right.
But right. Yeah, you don't want it on you. You don't want it shared, those kinds of things. But you know, putting a finger in your nose and holding it there for a while might be a weird thing, but it's not necessarily a bad component in that process. Are there other things that adults say in your program that they view children as really weird in that process and might view it as bad?
You know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There's nothing that I can think of with the children right now, but, you know, my son has always liked to change his appearance from the time he was really, really little. And I see their, you know, dress codes and problems with public school, but being that he's homeschooled, we never ran into it. But he likes to color his hair and he likes to paint his face. So, you know, some of those types of things are just not always readily accepted by everyone.
So they might view that as something wrong with him.
Right.
Yeah. When in reality, it's just what he likes to do. He enjoys doing it. And it might be a weird thing, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing in terms of that component. That there's, I think the challenge becomes we classify weird or being different as being a bad thing. that, and I think sometimes it happens with adults when they see their child do something and they might not see another child do it, so therefore they think that there's something really wrong with the child because they believe that their child is the only one that's doing it. Of course, that's not true, but that's what they believe. Do you think that happens sometimes?
I do. I think parents, you know, they want what's best for their children. So, and I think it's really hard not to look around to see what other children are doing. You know, not necessarily just to compare, but more of a, you know, is this a normal type of thing? I get questions all the time. Is this normal development? Is this something my child is supposed to be doing? So, you know, in terms of just making sure that, because you want the best for your child, you're making sure that they're on, you know, on track with what is quote unquote normal types of development.
Right. And I think where the difference becomes is that it's so difficult to say that all three-year-olds behave in this way and all four-year-olds behave in this way. And that if you move from that, then there's something wrong with you. And I think the challenge with that is recognizing that, as you've indicated, that not all children are going to respond in a particular way at a particular age. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. It just means that there might be a different thing for that child. Excuse me. In terms of that process and recognizing those differences. So what are other weird things that children do that make it okay? For example, I'm often seeing children who like to turn around in the swing set so tight. I remember doing as a young child and then getting off and feeling real dizzy and during that process and then getting back on and doing it completely again. And people saying, you know, what's wrong with that kid? And he's all turning in his himself. Are there other weird things that people make comments about as if it's a bad thing?
You know, I'm racking my brain right now, and you know, I think sometimes clothing is really restrictive for children. So, you know, some of the children may take their clothes off and run around, which is a completely normal, natural thing to have happen. But some people are kind of weirded out by the fact that children might be running around without their shirt on.
Yes. Yeah. As if, you know, that there's something bad about that when in reality they're running around with their shirt off.
Right.
That there's nothing very bad. But, you know, feeling the wind against their chest or whatever is part of the process. I keep wondering how many adults have actually danced in their underwear, you know, in front of a mirror, and no one has pointed at them out that they are, that there's something bad about that, that it's just what they have decided to do, that spontaneous moment. But when children do it sometimes, there's that concern that there might be something wrong with him or her, when in reality it's just a very natural process. I keep thinking about Eric, the child in my life that changed when he would do things like come up to somebody and try to lick their leg, or somebody and try to lick their arm, or their cheek, or their hair. It didn't matter. And it wasn't that he was necessarily evil or sinful. He loved the response that people made. So if they come up and they lick their leg, they would scream, "Oh, his tongue's on my leg," kind of thing. You know, that kind of process. So somebody might consider that a weird behavior. But in reality, he was doing it to get the recognition and attention from the others. So I would just say to the other kids, well, you know, tell him you don't want your leg licked. But then some kids would say, oh, he can lick my leg, I don't care. I'm thinking, okay, now I move over to the weird side in terms of that process. So once in a while, I would have children that would behave in that fashion. That would really make it challenging for adults to look at in terms of that process. I expect and support the fact that young children are going to be different than adults. Don't you?
Oh, I don't have a lot of expectations, but I expect that they're going to behave and be different from adults.
So therefore, being different might put you in a classification as kind of weird in your experience, but I often worry that adults might have forgotten that they might have done the same thing. I remember going out, you know, part of our tradition was going out in a mud puddle after a rain and jumping up and down in it in our underwear, and people would see that as something natural because everybody did it at that time. Now, if you did it, it might be classified as a weird behavior, especially if you did it as an adult in that process. But I think, you know, what's interesting to me is at what point does one behavior become really weird versus really just being different in that process?
I think there's a really fine line where that comes into play. And, you know, your mud puddle thing, you'd have to worry in some places about the laws now, which,
yes,
you know, can be kind of crazy. But, you know, if you're out in the country where you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff, then, you know, mudding in your underwear would probably still be an okay thing as an adult, but not so much when you're right downtown. So.
Right. Now, Amy, not everybody knows that you wear wig frequently. That is rainbow colors, isn't it? Or is it not? It's, what colors is it?
It is a rainbow colored clown wig that I have, yes.
So sometimes when you do a presentation, often you will wear this wig. Now, when people see you, do they look at you as a strange woman who's got this wig on? Has that ever occurred?
Oh, you know, I've gotten some really strange looks by people in the hallways of the places where I'm presenting. Not necessarily people who are, you know, expecting to see me, because my online persona, most places, when you find pictures of me, I am wearing the rainbow wig, which actually kind of comes from my childhood, because when I was younger, my grandmother was in charge of 4-H in the Tri-County area. And as a very young child, I was placed up in front of people as she demonstrated on how to apply and remove clown makeup. I was the model. And so from a very young age, I was a clown. So that's, you know, that's part of where it comes into play. And I kind of like the crazy hair that comes along with that wig. And a lot of the presentations that I do have to do with science and sensory. So I usually am wearing a lab coat along with this crazy rainbow colored wig when people see me. When I'm doing more serious presentations, when I want people to take me more seriously and it isn't as much fun stuff, then, you know, that comes off, because it's kind of hard to take you seriously talking about something when you're looking at somebody wearing a rainbow wig.
Right. So when did you discover that you were weird?
You know, I don't know when I actually accepted the fact, but I, you know, I've probably been that way for quite some time. And you know, my husband, Alan, and I have a very, you know, we've got a very interesting life story for being the ages that we are. We've both been very involved in different things. And we often get a lot of, you know, like when we brought Dane to the dentist and we were talking about our trips or, you know, or something that was going on. And we often get the, who are you people? So acceptance has been for quite a while now, but you still get that reaction from people every now and again, like, okay, this isn't the quote unquote normal, and we're quite okay with that.
Right. And I think that acceptance that it's okay has to develop after a period of time. And I'm hoping, you know, with children, the same thing occurs with adults, is that when we start recognizing what kids are capable of doing, being weird or doing different things, is just what we want them to do, and to encourage that kind of independence when they grow up and develop that self-confidence, so that what happens is a child doesn't start depending on what other people think of them. Don't you think that that's a real crucial part of being weird? You really get to a point where you don't have to depend on what others think about your wearing a wig or me putting my feet in a toilet or whatever it is that it is that we do, that I think that you develop that sense of self-confidence. And that's what we're kind of hoping with children, is they will continue to be different in terms of that process.
Right. And, you know, we don't want Unfortunately, our school system is really set up right now for a lot of, you know, obedience and compliance. And that's really not what we want from young children. We want them to be free thinkers and to be able to, you know, try things and find who they are and to be able to contribute to the, you know, eventually be able to contribute to society and the world based upon their individuality. And so celebrating their uniqueness and their weirdness is something that we need to continue to encourage, and not just for children, because we've got a, you know, we've got a lot of peers and adults who are still on that journey of finding that acceptance, and just to promote that with everyone.
Right, so rather than look at it as something wrong, look at it as something different. Because all of us are different, and that's what we want to support in that process. It starts with children, ends up in high school, then we need to carry it on through adulthood in terms of that process of different. I'm hoping that we would create an experience or an opportunity where children and adults can demonstrate their difference without necessarily being judged or are criticized in that process. Because I keep thinking when I was young, I wasn't really into sports, and traditionally males are supposed to be into sports. But I used to love music, I love dance, etc. So I would take courses that might be traditionally viewed as female. And therefore, what's wrong with him? Why isn't he doing what he's supposed to do in that process? But I am, so you go through the challenges of what people think you should be like. And I'm hoping that we provide an opportunity with children and adults where they can feel comfortable doing and being what it is they want. It just makes things easier for everyone, don't you think so?
Definitely. And, you know, just to celebrate the uniqueness that each person brings to the table.
Yeah, in terms of that process and recognizing that it's okay to be weird, essentially. So now what Amy and I've done is we started creating this collection of weird people, essentially. So as we're getting to the end of our Shaking Bones podcast this time, one of the things you might want to think about and help parents and guardians understand is that it's certainly okay to be different, and weird isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's a very acceptable thing, and that's what we want to promote in children's development and understanding. So the next time you sing in your car, or the next time you decide to color your hair a color that might not be traditionally viewed, or the next time you decide to jump in a mud puddle in your underwear, that's just being different rather than being judgmental and saying that there's something wrong with that. I want to thank you so much for listening to our Shaking Bones podcast. If you have questions or want to help us understand why you're weird, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com, or Amy, my other weird partner.
You can email me at amyahola@hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks for being listening and being a little weird.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more bone rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.